The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
McGregor, you gotta come back and fight somebody. I'll see you at the top.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker! The king is back.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 11 of Tough Hang, recapping episode 11 of The Ultimate Fighter, season 31. Conor McGregor is back. I am back. I mean, I was really never gone. Your host, Alexander Keeley, and of course, our other host—I shouldn't say other—everyone's favorite co-host. Is also back from his trip to Dallas, Texas. It is GC Connor Burks back in the building.
Yes, back from Texas, baby. Don't mess with Texas. Feels like we got the band back together. Feels good to be back here. I'm excited.
GC, people saw me with the proper 12 and the dolls in the back. So thanks for letting me stay at your place while you were in Dallas. Everything went fine. I looked after all the plants were watered. I took care of it. And I'm back up now in Canada. And of course, we are joined by producer EKC Light.
Yo, wait, before we start, I gotta find out if Connor's a true Texan yet. So, stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in Texas. The heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas, there it is. From the second you started that, I had no idea where you were going with that.
No one did. Casey,
you're not a true Texan, but I appreciate you got the mug. You almost made it to the Buc-ee's. You almost made it to the Buc-ee's. It's tough.
Buc-ee's, I tried. All right. If you want to know the behind the scenes, I was really willing to do it. It was 40 minutes each way from my hotel in Dallas. But then I checked the Uber, and like an Uber one way was like $62. So I was just like, I'm going to go ahead and pass on Buc-ee's. Next time I'm down here, I'll rent a car.
You take the Uber trip to Buc-ee's, and then you go on the side of the road and get a ride back.
Texas is where you hitchhike. That's a true experience.
Yeah.
That is a flat state. That is a flat state with a lot of open highways.
Yeah, Buc-ee's is you don't visit Buc-ee's when you're in the city. Buc-ee's is something you visit when you go from like Houston to Dallas or Dallas to San Antonio. That's when you go to Buc-ee's. So that's what it seems like.
So next time I'm in Texas, that's when I'll do it.
There you go.
Right. Casey, you of course have roots in H-Town, Houston, right? Mm-hmm. How many different places are you from? I swear, I have done many shows with you, sir. And I swear every now and then you'll be like, oh, that guy's from Wisconsin. Oh, I'm from Wisconsin. Like, I've lived in Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, I've lived in Montreal for a couple. How many different places are you from, Casey? You are from so many places.
Born in Florida, raised in Mississippi.
Mississippi? The Mississippi that went up against Louisiana today? Mm-hmm. The same?
Yeah. I'm from the Delta. Jason Knight's from Southern Mississippi, but we're still Mississippi boys. Then
get a little stake in the game.
Yeah, my formative years in Texas, and then my adult professional making money years out in Los Angeles.
Oh, what a man of many nations you are. I swear, you say that, you're going to bring it up in like, oh, I also spent some time in Topeka. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, well, that wouldn't surprise me. Yes, Mississippi versus Louisiana on this episode of The Ultimate Fighter. The second lightweight semifinal, determining our last finalist for the season at 155 pounds. What an amazing fight. What an amazing fight, GC. Ooh. Give us
best fight of the season. I mean, absolutely no doubt it was the best fight of the season. Like, it's inarguable. The fact that I was really happy with it is that they were selling it for a lot of this episode. They were just like, this is a guaranteed banger. We're going to go in there. We're going to absolutely throw hands. If we go the distance and we don't reach 500 punches thrown apiece, then we failed as fighters in there. Michael Chandler selling it. Everyone is selling the fight. And then they get in there and they actually deliver. My first note, Jason Knight. I know he ended up getting finished, but the dude has got an absolute ironclad chin. I mean, it was a body shot that actually was the thing that led to the finishing sequence on the ground. He took some massive shots. He took some massive shots, dude. Absolute dog, both those guys. They stuck to their word, man, and they delivered the best fight of the season so far.
Yeah, he was eating clean shots to the head.
Clean, right from the beginning. Big shots, like face turning, was, like big yes. shots.
You know that fight reminded me of? The first time, the very first, the very first pandemic pay-per-view, and we got to see the footage of Justin Gaethje and Tony Ferguson. Remember
right.
that footage of them?
Yeah,
pop,
yeah.
Pop, and like no noise.
Loud.
The sound.
Chunky, gave me those slapping memories. Punches. Yeah. Yeah. Wow! Like
it was. Ooh, there almost, was a, yeah. sorry. It was a point. There was so much violence in that fight that even like veterans like Conor McGregor and Chandler were like, "Dang!"
Yeah.
These guys have been in wars, especially Chandler. He's been in freaking wars, and he was like, "Whoa, boy, hey, get him to the hospital."
Yeah, it's like as he walked by McGregor, he was just like, "Jesus, man, those dudes were going at it." And McGregor was like, "Classic fight, fight of the season, no doubt." Dana saying the same thing. I loved how, like, as they were going at it, as Jason Knight's taking these huge shots, he's just like, make sure to be like, told y'all we were going to bang, man. Told y'all we were going to get after it. Like, it's just like, yeah, dude. What yeah, you guys sad. Are getting after it.
It's almost fantastic. It's almost a shame this is on, like, featured in The Ultimate Fighter, because this is like a top 10, like one of the top 10 best fights of the year I've seen, maybe. And obviously, we know, you know, tens of millions of people watch this show every week. But when it comes to doing their fight of the year list, they might like not count it because it was on a reality show, it was taped, you know. So that's why I worry it'll be discounted. Everyone saw it. I mean, everyone's going to be talking about Wednesday morning. But it was a great, great fight. It was actually enhanced by the silence, unlike the Austin Hubbard.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, I was just like, everyone's
like the opposite of that. Was that
it
last
was totally
week?
Opposite.
Was that last week?
Two weeks ago.
Okay.
It was enhanced because like everyone that was just like, oh yeah, this is actually pretty cool. We're getting to see it. But all we were hearing was feet shuffling. And this one we were hearing like massive punches landing. It was theater, bro. I was not expecting. I was getting a little bit worried that they were like jinxing it by how much they were hyping it up. I have like notes. I was just like, man, like they're seriously selling this thing. I really hope that we don't end up flopping because they are such close friends, but it felt like it was like a different energy about it. Whereas Roosevelt Roberts' fight with Austin Hubbard, it was like they were like a little too friendly that like they didn't want to go to war. These guys were both like, job's on the line. If I lose, I'm just going to prop him up and I'm going to make him look sick doing it while I'm also looking good because we're going at it. Yeah, it felt like a different energy and man, they delivered.
I was a little worried early when they were mentioning like, oh yeah, there's like just like the other fight, you know, we don't want any of our coaches providing any real cornering. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why would you remind people of the circumstances around our fight 2 weeks ago? Like, are you trying to get people to change the channel? Are you trying to scare people? But yes, the two guys did a much better job selling it. They were talking about their history. They said they used to live like 90 minutes away from each other. They were going to fight before they were in the UFC. Jason Knight apparently got in some sort of car accident, which may have prevented that fight from happening. And Kurt said he wanted them to both surpass 500 punches each, which if this was like a 5-round fight, they might have done it. It was so much fun to watch. I know we're going to probably say this a bunch of times during the show. I really cannot believe how many shots Jason Knight ate. He started giving back, but he was really getting outworked. And like I said, if it wasn't for that body shot, I don't know. He might have just stayed on his feet the whole time. But Can we get these guys $50,000 bonuses? I mean, what kind of compensation do we think these guys are getting for these fights in the show? Do we have any idea?
they both got with the extra. No, they both lost the. Oh, we'll talk about it later. Yeah. The coaches competition, and they were both on the losing team, so they got nothing extra that week. I guess.
Or did they? Yeah, I would hope. I mean, Dana had a pretty huge appreciation for the fight. I could see him throwing him a couple shekels. I want to see Jason Knight in the UFC after that. I feel like that was sort of his plan. He was just like, win or lose, I'm gonna just go out on my sword and hopefully get a contract from it. I would love Jason to see him in the UFC.
Jason Knight's a 45er, and he actually looks small. He's always fought at 45, and this fight was at 55. Kurt Hallebaugh looks like a 55er. Jason Knight looks like a 45er. That was my impression. And so I hope if Jason Knight does get an actual UFC contract, he can fight at his natural weight class. I think that the size discrepancy did hurt Knight for sure in that fight.
He's somehow only 31 years old.
Veteran.
How is that possible? I'm looking at his record. I believe he's been fighting since he was like 19. So he's one of those guys. He has been around for a long time. If it feels like he's been around for a long time, he has been. He just started super, super young and has been in a lot of memorable fights.
And for anyone listening to this, if this was your first introduction to Jason Knight, I don't know where it is, but find his bare knuckle fights with Artem Lobov or his first one. If you want to see what you saw in this episode in a bare knuckle 25-minute fight or whatever, how long it is, that fight was basically the equivalent to it in a real fight. But yeah,
I have to go and watch that. I've never watched that before.
Oh, it's insane! And if you find the post fight pictures of them at the hospital, you'll be like, these guys are legit like maniacs, freaking maniacs.
I mean, he was comfortable being just completely battered, getting in the ambulance. He's like, "Yep, I'm good."
Yeah, yeah. He didn't. He was just like, "Can I get a mirror first? I just want to see how I look." Or can you guys take a picture? Let me see how I look. I'm like, oh, man, he's not concerned. He was talking during the fight. What did he say? He said the first time he got cracked, he said that was a good one. He like as he was sort of recovering, and then at the end of the first round, yeah, I told y'all boys we was banging. Like he's just talking. He was also pretty cognizant
after the fight. He was just like, yep, nope, I'm not upset. I may have not fought to my best abilities, but what was I going to do? Kurt was like so on point that like he just fought the best fight. And I don't know about y'all. I'm actually kind of glad I was cheering for Kurt in there because of the call with his wife. I mean, he started crying and everything. He's talking about how like big of an opportunity this is. The wife drops in like the little jab at Jason Knight. She was like, I mean, come on, you're going to win. It's Jason Knight. Yeah, you can just tell how much it meant. I was really going to feel bad for him if he ended up not pulling it off. So it was cool to see the emotional guy win.
Yeah, he's moving on. Yeah,
Most of those calls have been kind of, you know, all right, go, I miss you, I'm going to do great. But you're right. There's something about the when Kurt called his wife, there was like an extra level of emotion. And
100%.
I'm glad you felt that too. Yeah. It was different. It was different. It wasn't just, hey, cool. You know? Yeah, it was well done. Well done.
Jason Knight should definitely get a contract, and it better not be some Contender Series introductory dealie. I mean, this guy should be getting paid at least 50 G's just to show, if not more. So hopefully that happens. This leads me to my first question of the show, guys. I wanted to ask, this is something we've mentioned on previous shows, and anytime you do a reality show, there's going to be this drama. You're the drama of someone getting eliminated, and they have their story, and it affects you. But I think the problem with this season is, as touching as those stories are, is that there's no counterbalance to it. We're not going to get the opposite where we're like super super happy for the guy who wins the show, because of what I just mentioned. Like, we know they're just getting back to the UFC, where arguably a lot of these guys should have been all along. They probably should have been cut in the first place. So now these sob stories, these consolation prizes, they're just bringing me down. They're bringing me down. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. GC, would you rather they didn't necessarily keep showing like, oh man, this guy falling short, and it's bringing me down.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it all season. That you kind of had this more of an emotional connection to these fighters than your typical, you know, Apex card this weekend. And yeah, it's, you do have the connection. I mean, I like that they showed. I mean, I think it's part of the show. It gets you a little bit more invested in it.
Yeah. Casey, you have to feel the lows if you want to feel the highs.
But I'm saying, there is no high though. What's the high? What is what's going to be the high? That's my worry.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Even Kurt Hollebaugh, like I said, Kurt Hollebaugh should be making $100,000 for this win. I have a feeling he probably is not getting paid $100K for this win.
I can say with 100% certainty he did not get paid $100,000.
That's a fight of the night. That's like if that's in a UFC, Vegas 79. Fight of the night winner.
Fight of the night, 50K bonus, no doubt.
This is like, and maybe a finish bonus for Hollebaugh. He might be walking home with 100K plus his show money plus his win. It just, I know we're going, you know, if we ever talk with the Ultimate Fighter again, this is going to be something that comes up. You know, I don't know if we're going to do another season after this. So thank you everyone for watching Tough Hang. It's been fantastic. but it's just hard. It's hard not to think about now in the current UFC climate. It's a discussion that's been going on for a while. It's not going away, the fighter compensation thing, but I get it. It's not something we need to harp on all the time. GC, on a more positive note, Team McGregor technically undefeated, or say no losses, like four straight weeks.
The blue is back, baby. Come on.
The blue wasn't really here. Maybe. The blue wasn't really here this episode. Though I guess we could say
Blue is back. Wait for Rico to pull it off. I just want to give an update. We got all the matches correct for the semifinals. I still have note here. Our predictions, though, we are 0-3. We thought it was going to be Jason Knight versus Roosevelt Roberts.
It's going to be
Hollebaugh Hubbard. And then we thought it was going to be Valiv versus Rico. So far, it is Katona. And we'll see next week whether or not Rico makes it. Yeah. But if they stick to what we're thinking, what we've laid out, 292 finales, is that still up in the air?
I don't know. You've been pushing this hard. You guys have been saying having Rico be one of the finalists in Boston makes a lot of sense.
I thought they announced it already.
I think they did. I think
it's going to be the prelims. It's going to be in the prelims. Yeah. They announced
it. They must have been watching.
Maybe.
They must have been watching Tough Hang then.
Definitely. And I don't know if the card is finalized, but from what I saw, someone put something up and it was like, they would open the card. maybe not. I see another thing listing prelims as the first set.
They're in the middle of the prelims. They're not the opening fights. But they're
That's fine.
They're not the main event prelim. Whatever.
I got no problem.
It makes sense because we're only sitting at 10 fights right now. So yeah, that's for sure.
And we don't know if there's gonna be other ultimate fights like Roberts versus Jason Knight or something like that. We don't know.
Yeah, but what a run. Rico wins for Team McGregor. The first semifinal doesn't have any McGregor fighters in it, so technically Team McGregor couldn't lose. Rakitona jumps over to Team McGregor for the first bantamweight semifinal, gets the win. This week again, no Team McGregor. Four in a row. Plus, we'll jump right into it. Conor McGregor wins the coaches challenge, the always lovely coaches challenge. Now, guys, we were talking about this before the show. I think we all had a bit of a different read on it. I overall enjoyed it. I'll get to my reasons why in a moment. GC, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, of course I enjoyed it. It was something different. It was a switch up. They at least added a little emotion, a little fun to the show. No love for Brooklyn Wren, I have to say. Dana White, Bruce Buffer, and Ring Girl from Michael Chandler. No love for the great Brooklyn.
Shout out to Brooklyn Wren. Michael Chandler, as sort of somewhat revealed in this trivia thing, has said he's not really... And Casey, you alluded to this last week. No, just in general, a lot of fighters are not like hardcore MMA fans. Like they keep track of their teammates, their division, maybe, but overall, they're not like as avid as they're not watching 44 fight cards a year, right? They're probably watching some of the pay-per-views.
Smart, normal human beings.
They watch the main card. They watch the main card. You know, they don't. Yeah, they're not getting there for the first fight. Yeah,
I would be surprised if Chandler could name any of the Ring Girls. So I don't think it was a slight towards Brooklyn Wren. It's maybe a slight towards Ring Girls in general, if you want to take it that way. But I don't think he could name any of them.
The Chandler Wren beef. If it comes to fruition, know that it started here. Know that this started here. No love lost between Brooklyn and Mike there. Second, have to say, absolutely loved the Bruce Buffer. It's bath time. That was all time. I bet that I'm going to go ahead and say that kills with the grandkids. That's an absolute money maker when you're putting the grandkids to sleep. I bet he goes back to that one a lot. And then, ice bath. I'm sure they got another sponsorship in for whatever brand that was for the ice baths. Always making money, baby. Always making money. Gotta love the hustle. And yeah, I thought the questions they weren't brain busters or anything, but you know, it was entertaining enough. And Team McGregor, all of them essentially lost their fights, and they got some extra money.
Good for them. I think a lot of the vets hopefully will end up getting signed. I don't know if a lot of the quote unquote prospects are necessarily going to get signed, but we'll see how that goes. Sorry, Casey, what are you saying?
Oh, the one part of the question part I did like was when, what round did Conor McGregor lose to Khabib? Conor's just like, ah, jerks.
He's just like, what is this? Some of them they made way too obvious. Like, it was just like, what is Michael Chandler's record in MMA? Like, 11-2, 2-20, and 23-8. It's just like, all right. And then another one was like, when was McGregor Rookie of the Year? And it was like 2000, 2013 or 2023. It's just like, I mean, if you have even just like 1 ounce of common sense, those are obvious.
Even Chandler's like, what is Conor, like 48 or something?
McGregor's laugh in the cold tub was all time. I mean, we got about 15 belly laughs from McGregor because he was so cold and uncomfortable. So that was good.
Yeah, that far, it seemed almost unnecessary for them to be in the bass, but I guess visually you just had to amp it up somehow. Casey, we were saying before the show, we wish you were saying you didn't feel the cold. It wasn't coming through for you. I want to see them dump ice.
I want to see an ice bath, not a cold water bath.
Right.
Because ice, you know, is cold. I don't know if it's cold. I think they're proving for the brand.
They're proving for the brand of Tubbs that it stays cold. I thought you could feel it. Going into the last round, I think you could tell McGregor was like, all right, dude, I'm done with this. I want to get out. I thought for a second he was going to miss the last question. They were going to get forced to a round four and like they were both going to get pissed.
Yeah, this needed a commercial break. This needed both guys like shaking and then McGregor going like, oh, that's it, I've had enough. And like almost standing up and then they cut to a commercial break. And then it's like, oh no, okay, I forgot. I got to cut it out.
You just wanted to stretch it out. A pointless tease into it, a 4-minute commercial break, and then him just sit back down.
This ties
in. I like this. You got the producer mind here, AK.
That's how the drama on this show works. For any who's watched all 11 episodes, that's pretty much how the drama. Oh, is this guy going to have to make weight? Oh, yeah, he just made the weight. Okay. Oh, cool. Brad, what's going on? He's hanging out with the other team. What does that mean? Ah, it's okay. We're cool.
He's getting on the bus.
If we're going to talk about drama on the show, they finally did something in this episode, which I've been really waiting for the entire season.
Is this involving the trivia? I don't want to move on from the trivia yet.
Oh, no. Okay. Let's get down to trivia. Sorry.
Okay, Casey, write this down. Don't forget it. I have a tendency to forget things on the show. It would be my fault if you forget it. Write this down. Make a little producer note in your producer notebook. Yes. I had some problem. The other reason I would have wanted to extend it is because they skipped over the best part of the trivia, the tough specific trivia. Because I was playing along at home. All right. I was playing along. So to tell people that there was three rounds. The first round, general UFC history. Round two, tough trivia. Round three, worth double the points. And I thought, huge advantage for Chandler here. Trivia about the other person. Because I'm like, Chandler definitely knows pretty much everything about McGregor's career. I mean, he's just so famous. I'd be surprised if McGregor knows anything about Michael Chandler's career. He didn't even know he'd been in championship fights. He's in Bellator. So they skipped over the tough stuff. I was furious. They showed like the first question, which was when did like Bonner and Griffin Bonner 1 happen? And that's it. And they're like, oh, I guess we don't need to show Ultimate Fighter questions. And I'm like, I would have crushed it. I would have, because I went, there were seven.
That would have been your forte.
Hmm?
That would have been your forte, man. I guess I didn't put two and two together. They were like skipping along and like the scores were higher and yeah, so we didn't get to the other questions.
So they finally sped through the boring part, which we were complaining about.
And they did it during we can't do it during a fight, but we can do it during.
Yeah, we can do it during this. Like,
come on.
The part where the two stars are actually interacting. Let's get through.
Why everyone is here to watch the show.
Why we want to see that.
They also didn't realize till halfway through that when you do these trivia things, you have to have people both reveal their answers at the same time, because otherwise, once the first guy gets an advantage, he can just see what the other guy's going to say and then answer the same. Yep. And it doesn't matter whether he's right or wrong because he's already has a 1-point advantage. So it doesn't matter. So they realize it halfway through. Now, and then also having the final round be each guy answering questions individually also would have fixed that. But still, my complaint stands. It seemed very silly at first when they were like,
but
what?
They
C?
Were cold.
Oh, you said C? Okay, I'll say
they
C.
Were cold, though.
Listen, man, cold. And yeah. 1024 ice plunge baths, whatever the brand was, shout out. Keeps you nice and cool.
Yeah, doesn't need ice added to it. Doesn't need ice added to it, Casey. And okay. viewers, by the way, if they did show the tough trivia on whatever the UFC's deleted scenes show or whatever crap that is that I refuse to watch, this time I will watch it if those tough trivia questions.
Wow, wow. Listen to you.
Let me know in the comments.
I won't stoop to the deleted scenes guy. I watch the deleted scenes every week. I'll let you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me know.
I will say though, but I did get the question wrong. I thought Carla Esparza was the first tough champion.
Oh,
I think Carla too. I totally forgot Julia Pena was the first one.
I got everything except Chandler's TKO wins. I did not get that. The last question, I did not know the answer to that. I was off. Casey, what was the point you brought up earlier?
Oh yeah. So one thing I've been kind of complaining about this whole season is like, okay, we have all these fighters and they all live in a house together, but yet there's literally no house drama the entire season, which is fine. Like they didn't get drunk in a fight. But they started out this episode awesome. It was all the fighters around the kitchen table, and it was Knight and Hollibaugh basically talking about their fight and like, oh, we're gonna. What was it? Were they just kind of talking about how excited they are about fighting each other at the very opening of the episode? That is something incredibly unique to the format of the show. I wish is that the only time it happened all season, or was that the only time it was interesting? But like, I just wonder, like, that's what we want to see. Like, oh, wow, I have to, basically try to legally murder this man. But also, we have to do dishes, so. And, someone needs to clean.
Yeah, I thought that was good, too. I mean, the more insight we can see into the house, the better.
Yeah, and that's what, so yeah, we have this situation. They never capitalized on it. And so I felt that was one moment we got to see something that was very unique to this situation. And I like how they started the episode out with that.
Yeah, and it's the quote unquote prospects who are really missing out on this, because as much as we make fun of the prospects label, these are guys who are less familiar, not just to UFC fans, but fans who watch. Because if you watch MMA, or combat sports in general, like you brought up, Casey, you're probably keeping up with Jason Knight's BKFC. You've probably at least been seeing him fight. So he's been around. Like, Jason Knight's been around. So you don't necessarily need to feature him that much in the show. People like him. People know him. But like we saw, like I think it was Landon Quinones, for example. We saw him talking trash like in episode 2, and that's like all we got to see of him until his fight day, right? And these are the guys who need to get that. Like, that used to be the great reason to sign up on the show, was not necessarily to get, not just to get a path to the UFC, like a clear path to the UFC, but because, oh, you get to show your personality. And that's less and less. It hasn't been that way for a while. It's not just this season. Like, so I'm not just criticizing season 31. It's been like this for a long time. And, I understand it's probably never going to go back to those glory days of like, wow, learning everything there was to know about Josh Koscheck before he even, had his first official UFC fight, right? Like those were the when it was really a star-making show. And it really feels like they've given up on that now. They don't really care.
I thought it feels like no real star is going to be born from this season.
No, and that's been the case for a while.
And there's way too, like as much as I like that opening scene when they were at the kitchen table, there's just way too much of them on that kind of black confessional type of look going, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. Like, I don't know. I need like 10 seconds of that. We know, I don't know. I just want to see more real stuff and not just them trying to basically do a promo for the producers there. It feels like that. I don't know. I felt it was really repetitive real quick, even from Jason and Hollibaugh.
Also, you can tell when they've just been like queued up a question, like,
that's what I mean.
How are you going to finish that fight? Because they repeat the prompt. Like they're just like, how am I going to finish Jason Knight by second round knockout? Like it just feels like too robotic. Like it just doesn't feel natural. Whereas when they're in the house, like they're obviously having fun, talking shit, like enjoying themselves. Still, I feel like we've said it since episode 1, still feel like we wish we saw a lot more of that.
Yeah. And did they say on this episode, by the way, how much money all the guys got from the trivia? Did they say
10K?
Right? It's supposed to be, I think, 10K for each of them, right?
No, I think I thought it was 1,500. It wasn't that much.
Oh, the coach gets 10K. The coach
wins 10K. McGregor has the 10K. What'd he say? He says, the house always wins and I'm the house, baby. Yeah, the Bruce Buffer line, rich getting richer. I mean, the guy was killing it. Not much mic time for old Bruce, but he made value out of the few minutes that he got.
The guy commits.
What time is it? It's bath,
bath time. That should have been the name of the episode.
It's honestly bath time.
I have to say, probably the best producer moment of all from this season of Tough was that we're leading into commercial break and Bruce Buffer's like, it's bath time. And then we come back from commercial break and we get it again. They gave us the double dose. He hits us immediately again with the it's bath time. That was just absolutely excellent work.
I have a question. Was it the same take? I think it was.
I think they were just getting you back up to speed after the four minutes of commercials.
I thought for a second, I was like, did I hear a slight, like he held it longer? And I'm like, did they do multiple takes of his bath time? Because I hope they did. Like Marvin was like, please tell me they did this multiple times, trying to get different reactions. Guys, react to it like, you know, don't react to it this time. This time laugh. This because I don't know. I thought it was, but it was a great moment. Yeah, because if you caught it before the commercial break, you're hooked. You're like, I'm staying through these ads. Bruce Buffer just says,
bath time. It's bath time.
If by some chance you're browsing to ESPN and then it just came on, you're like, oh, what's going on? What's Bruce Buffer doing? It's bath time. I'm locked in for the rest of the episode. So you're right. Gold star for production team on that one. That was clearly the right move to make. Do we have any thoughts about our first lightweight final, Austin Hubbard and Jason Knight? Is there a guy? Kurt Hollebaugh. Courtesy. I'm just like everybody else. Yeah, I thought Jason Knight was going to win. Kurt Hollebaugh putting on maybe the performance of his life in a huge, huge spot. And now gets to fight Austin Hubbard. I have to think Hollebaugh will be favored after this performance.
We're going to be able to bet on it too.
You are actually going to be able to bet on it. I cannot wait till you talk about this on No Bets Barred. You're going to have to.
Did you see Hubbard's face on the end part where they kind of, they showed Hubbard from his fight from a week ago, I assume a week ago. Hubbard, like as boring as that fight was of Roosevelt, Hubbard's face was messed up. That fight was like, I think way more violent felt in the actual cage than it actually maybe looked to us. But like Hubbard's face looked just as messed up as Hollebaugh's face and Jason Knight's face. I was just going, whoa, dang. Unless he fell down the stairs in between fights. I don't know.
training accident. Someone opened the refrigerator into his face. I'm sure that happens a lot on the show. If it happened even one time and they didn't show it, then that is that is production.
My thoughts on it are I'm excited. Like Hollebaugh has now made a fan out of me. Like I'm looking forward to his fight. Like I think he's going to deliver in front of the Boston crowd. I'd probably say I'm cheering for him too after the phone call home. I think I'm a Kurt Hollebaugh guy going into UFC 292. Maybe a little look at the under. I mean, he seems to have an affinity for violence, and he's going to force Hubbard to fight. Hubbard is not going to be able to do what he did in the first lightweight semifinal. So, I'm looking forward to it.
It's a great story. It's hard not to root for him. I was trying to remember.
Yeah, seven dogs.
Seven dogs.
And I was trying to remember. The allegations time after time. Let's go. The king guilty. That was promised.
Not guilty. Y'all got to feel me. Kurt Hollebaugh. He was 0-4. I want to say this in two separate stints with the UFC, I think. I want to say it wasn't one run. Yeah, he had one fight. He was part of Strikeforce. 0-1 in Strikeforce, then 0-1 in the UFC. Goes into the MMA wilderness for a bit, comes back to the UFC, three super tough fights, Jaime Barcelos, Shane Burgos, Thiago Moises, over three. So it would be an amazing story if he got his first UFC win and that happened to be in the Ultimate Fighter finale. But
how old is he, 36?
36. He's the second oldest guy on the show, I want to say.
Kurt Hollebaugh, if he wins this, will be, I didn't see this coming into the season, but like, I thought of all the lightweights, like I was like, Kurt Hollebaugh, he really doesn't deserve to be in there. Like every other lightweight, I thought just on who they are and their quality, just as a fighter right then at the moment, I thought all of them could be back in the UFC, the lightweights. And Kurt Hollebaugh was the one like, that's kind of weird. And man, he proved me wrong. And he wasn't even, who'd he fight to get even into the semifinals? Who was it that he fought?
We're talking about Hollebaugh, right?
Yes. Hollebaugh, yeah.
Yes. Who did he fight?
Lee Hammond.
Yes,
Lee Hammond. Number one young gunner.
Kurt Hollebaugh was brought in to lose. Lee Hammond was not supposed to lose that fight.
Yes.
And Kurt Hollebaugh did. And like, Kurt Hollebaugh was not supposed to beat Jason Knight, I feel. And like, he's going to go to the finals, and I'm picking him to win this whole dang thing.
Give me some dog odds on Kurt Hollebaugh at 292. Yeah. I'll take him.
Kurt Hollebaugh, like, I. You said there's no stars that were made from this. I don't know. If Kurt Holliba has a great performance in that final, the final fight at 292, I don't know how far he goes, but man, what this season, as far as actual contestants, could be a big success for me personally, because I've been super impressed by Kurt Holliba, considering where what I thought of him coming into the season.
Holliba beats Hubbard. Book him as the backup fighter for Makhachev Oliveira.
What a story that would be. That's sort of what I was alluding to before, though, was like, it's a great story, but again, I don't know what the Ultimate Fighter contracts are anymore. It used to be they were billed as seven-figure contracts, and the caveat being it's seven figures if you like win at least like two of your three first fights, and then you would get three more fights. So you would hopefully get, it's like, it's supposed to be a 9-fight contract, which in total is worth somewhere north of $1 million. But as the Ultimate Fighters kind of got less successful, not everyone was hitting that 9-fight mark or necessarily winning those fights, so they weren't getting their win bonus either. So the supposed 7-figure contracts really turned out to be maybe low 6 figures, if that, if they stuck around that long. Again, I don't know what the deal is now. Maybe it's more. Maybe there's more guarantees. I'd be very surprised if that was the case, because I was just going to bring up, and it isn't necessarily the UFC's fault, Juan Espino, because I was thinking, is Kurt Holliba the oldest Ultimate Fighter winner? Should he go all the way? Juan Espino was 38 years old, heavyweight, when he won the Ultimate Fighter 28. He was older. He is older. He is older than Ultimate Fighter Season 1 winner Diego Sanchez. That's how weird that was. So if you want to know how weird the show is at producing future stars,
he is older. He's older right now.
Well, he's older. Yeah, he's older than
Diego Sanchez. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's silly. It's just silly. He's either older or younger by like 2 months or something like that. It's just so dumb.
They're essentially the same age, but that was forever ago.
Yeah, and he only lasted 3 fights. Again, not the UFC's fault. Had some injuries. I mean, shockingly, a 38-year-old pro fighter had some injuries in his career, and did not compete again after 3 fights. So, again, just to bring it back, I hope whatever happens, Kurt Holliba, should he win the show, or Austin Hubbard. Let's give Austin Hubbard some love too.
Yeah, come on. You got to give Austin Hubbard. This is a Kurt Holliba program. We have to be clear.
You need some sort of Kurt Holliba jersey now, because if Rico DeShulo doesn't make it. Knock on wood for you, Connor. If Rico DeShulo doesn't make it, I don't know what you're going to do on fight night. You're going to have to, Katona. Katona. World.
Yeah, Katona. Come on, man. Have a little respect. Perfect world for me. Rico and Holliba are the ones hoisting the trophies come August 19th.
If it's, do you consider Rico versus, again, should Rico advance? Do you consider Rico versus Brad to be McGregor versus McGregor? I say no.
Yeah. No. McGregor. Actually, if Rico wins, McGregor will have a champion.
Yeah, and especially since Kavanaugh is going to be in Katona's corner. You know what? It's true.
I'm not starting the conversations. I've just been hearing murmurs on the streets. Have been, you know, the rumor mill is working. Some are potentially saying McGregor greatest coach in tough history. I mean, I'm not saying it. I never said it, but rumors are saying this blue team is the most successful team in tough history.
McGregor will be insufferable.
I don't know if Connor knows this though. For the final fight at 292, this is now back at with their original coaches and their original camp home and stuff. So that's why I understand why these are exhibitions, because you don't have a true training camp. These aren't your coaches. Your weight cut is kind of weird.
Some of them are 2 rounds.
Some of them 2 rounds. Yeah. So I get why they're exhibitions. But the final fight will be a real fight, because it is with the real camp, real amount of time, all that stuff. So it's going to be different too. Yeah, because they're going to, they're back with their original coaches. So I don't know, maybe that could be good or bad. Who knows? But it'd be interesting. Or maybe even they switch up camps, like Holliba goes to Florida and trains with the Killcliff. Is that where, or is it?
Killcliff.
I don't know if he's doing that or not. I mean, could he possibly? But it's just that it, for Con, because they haven't explained that in the show yet, that the actual, for the final, the fight camps are different. Yeah.
Will McGregor definitely be in Boston for UFC 292?
No.
I think Chandler's there for sure.
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah, he'll be there.
So you're, Connor, you're firmly saying he's not going to be there.
I don't think so. But is this where they pull the hood over all of us and they fooled us this entire time? And then after the final tough fight, they bring in McGregor and Chandler and they do a face off and they bring out a little mini table and they sign the contracts in front of us. Wow, and it's set for December. Not only do we get the fight in 2023 as well. And everyone has to, you know, eat some crow on that.
Well, let's get it. We cover this every week. Again, penultimate episode. McGregor, we're one episode away from the finale, guys. Where are we? Where are we on how optimistic are we that this fight is going to happen?
I'm out. I think I'm officially out. Stop. Yeah,
I was out of episode two.
But now I'm like, if you just look at Twitter, it's just like, nah, it just does not. It doesn't. It almost feels like Chandler is accepting that it's probably not happening now.
So just if people didn't see some of the latest Twitter hullabaloo, Conor McGregor was asked by a fan, why is the fight with Mike Chandler not interesting to you? And Conor McGregor with a quote tweet, I'll do what they want. No prob. I don't think they want him no more, though. There's loads of juicy fights around and my return date is my return date. I never gave an F about who it was ever. I'll fight anyone. I'll even fly them to me, ask Malignaggi, flown in and bet around. I don't know. And Chandler said something like, this dude, I remember when his words held an immense amount of weight. Just tell the truth. So there's some, you know, he's trying to keep it alive. He's trying, guys.
He's trying. So desperate. He's like, please fight me. Please.
Have some Connor, what about honor, though? Did you think about what people would think of your word, your integrity, if you don't take this fight?
He's too far gone into
the stratosphere, man. He can do what he wants when he wants to.
He's talking about
and like you said, bro, his return date is his return date. I mean, whenever he comes back, if we're not going to get the Chandler one, let's just do Nate Diaz at UFC 300. Let's just hold off till next March, next April, and let's just do McGregor Diaz 3 at UFC 300.
I still think Chandler should hang on. If I'm Chandler, don't book a fight.
I agree with that because, I mean, who knows? Like his opinion, his Twitter fingers change as much as the weather. In a month, it could be, you know, it was always Chandler.
Like you said, the fake out, 292, the fake out. Oh, McGregor's here, Chandler's here. Oh, bring him in.
Dana White is pulling out a pen. There it is. Conor McGregor putting pen to paper. This contract is signed. It's signed. We're getting the fight in December.
Oh, Conor jabs the pen into Chandler's forehead and signs it with his blood. Oh, that's going to be crazy.
Your little Bellator tick.
I have not given up. I know you guys are both at a zero or close to a zero right now. I'm still hovering.
I wanted to believe.
I'm hovering at a six or seven.
Is it the fight you want, though? Is it honestly the fight you want?
Yes, it would be exciting
as hell, man. I don't really want to see the McGregor Gaethje fight. It's just like Gaethje feels like he's at a different point in his career where Chandler feels like he's here to put on fun fights. And I think that fight would be a ton of fun.
Okay. Yeah, it's a cool McGregor is not wrong. There are a lot of cool fights out for him. If they made McGregor Gaethje, I'm not going to go like, oh, darn it.
Come on. I mean, of course, I'm all down for that. You put the BMF belt on the line at 170 and the match is made.
But Chandler has earned this. He beat him up on the show 7-1. Sorry, Conor. Sorry to keep bringing it up. 7-1 on the show. Possibly might have all technically Team Chandler finalists, depending how this last bantamweight semifinal goes.
And Chandler, he really cares about his fighters. He really cares about coaching.
He's really sincere.
I felt that. Like Conor's just like, all right, how can we incorporate stout into this? You know, but for Chandler, he was actually, you felt every time he was talking to his fighters afterward and everything, like these are real moments. And I do feel bad for Chandler. He got suckered into this and thinking he was going to get the biggest fight of his life.
Yeah. Whatever his next fight is, he'll still be exciting. He'll make a ton of money.
When Chandler was talking to Kurt after in the washroom after and saying like how blown away he was and like, if you fight like this, whatever, you know, kind of trailing off because he just didn't know how to finish set. He was so blown away by it felt very genuine, like not just for the cameras. It felt like he was like, holy crap, I didn't expect that. Like, he's probably never seen Kurt Hallebaugh fight like that before. And, you know, an action fighter for sure, but the accuracy and everything, the slipping, the punches, boy.
You know what, from like a TV standpoint, that felt real because you notice like – is like, you know, you watch the Office, and sometimes you get these kind of like the cameras kind of looking from a distance, so it feels kind of voyeuristic, you know?
Yeah, it was that.
That's
shot.
What it was. Yeah. Like they were kind of in the bathroom. It wasn't like on the set or something. They were in the bathroom. Like he was like washing his face off, and the camera was just like a good 20 feet away or something. It was even echoey. There wasn't like a good boom mic there or anything. Mm-mm. But so. Like there's not like there's they know they don't they may know there's someone filming there, but it's not like they're playing to the camera. So that if there was,
no, I definitely don't think they were.
You know what I'm trying to say, like that's why it for TV wise if there was it felt different. That's why those moments were.
Yeah.
We got very few of those moments in this show, but I'm glad we did get a couple. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice moment, nice episode. Guys, we're kind of going out in a high note here. I'm kind of excited. So this I'm going to be
Let's get a banger for the last episode. Yeah.
Let's get a bang for this episode.
Are we going to do a tough hang post 292 to recap the finales?
I think we should do a post show right after the finales wrap and just during the pay-per-view. I think we do. I know you'll be doing, I think you tell Mike, you tell my best friend. Bring someone in to do the watch party. You say, I got to step into this other room because we're going to film a quick post.
No other room. What we're going to do is we'll have the watch party going. I'll have my laptop set up to the left. We just have to stay on top of the switching. And each time I turn to face each camera, then we can put me in the shot and no one will be any the wiser. And we just got to stay on our P's and Q's on the mics and be switching it. But I should be able to make that work. I should be able to do that live.
Casey, you've been in production business for a long time. You can make this happen. It's easy, right? Seamless show.
Double show.
Okay. I was born to do this.
So looking forward to that. And guys, yes, next week we have our last episode, the second Bantamweight semifinal between Rico DeShulo and Cody Gibson. I do want to shout out someone in the YouTube comments because I was asking a lot during Katona's episode. Has anyone won the show twice? And I mentioned Diego Lima. I mentioned Jesse Taylor as guys who would like come close to just making the final. Well, Lima made two finals. Jesse Taylor was qualified for two finals and won once. And I'd completely forgotten about someone who was on the same season as Lima the second time. Eddie Gordon won, I want to say tough 13-14. Shout out to Eddie Gordon. Yeah. One of the worst seasons of The Ultimate Fighter. This was the Frankie Iger, BJ Penn season. Absolutely
worse
atrocious.
Than this one? If you thought
that there was parts, episodes this season that were boring, you need to watch Tough 13 or 14. I can't remember which one it was. It is just a nonstop. No one wants to be there. BJ Penn and Frankie Edgar have no reason to want to fight each other again. They're just like, why are we doing this? Corey Anderson did come out of the show. I will say top seven light heavyweight Corey Anderson did come out of the show.
25-8.
You never know who's going to come out of this one.
He was still Beast in 25-8 at the time.
Yeah, and, that was his nickname back then. Beast in 25-8.
It's a great nickname. It bends time and space. So shout out to Conan Zena for reminding me about Eddie Gordon on the YouTube comments. People leave comments and leave us your comments on your thoughts on this season. Hopefully I get to read them out next time. I know you'll only be able to judge the first 11 episodes, and obviously the 12th is going to be the best one.
Yeah, of course. And then the finales are going to put it all over, and then in the rearview mirror, we're going to be like, was that the best season of Tough we've ever had?
After Rico and Kurt emerge as the winners, the two oldest guys in the show emerge as the winners. Back, yes,
that's another reason I'm cheering for it. I want people 35 and over. To win Tough this season is similar to the United States presidency. You have to be at least 35 years old.
Great to see these young bucks finally getting a shot at the UFC, right? This is fantastic. So, but yes, that's it for this week, guys. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you, GC. Thank you, producer Casey. And I'm trying not to get emotional knowing we only have one episode left.
Don't try and hide it, man. Just get emotional. Just own
just
it. It's an emotional time.
Let the tears flow.
I can't believe my eyes are actually being put on episode 11. It's a really crazy moment. I remember episode one.
I don't. It's like it was yesterday. I don't know if you were here watched last week's Tough Hang. I did get emotional watching reading Katona's poetry. His.
You want to know how I watched it? No sound. I was actually at a bar in Dallas and they had it on. And I was just like, this couldn't be any better. This couldn't be any better. I mean, my night has been made. When we walked in and Tough was on, I was just like, I'm going to stay here. I don't care where else you guys go, but this is my spot for the next hour.
No subtitles either? No sound, no subtitles?
No nothing.
Oh, no subtitles.
Don't know anything that anyone said. I was just there for the vibes. I was there for the moment.
Well, the vibes of this show are powerful. And I mean, Ultimate Fighter and Tough Hang. So thanks again, everyone. And we will see you next week for the big finale. Peace out.
Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.